It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to our Bible study segment, and today we're learning about the very first lesson in the book of Mark, and we're actually calling this lesson two because yesterday we covered the introduction. This one is titled Prepare the Way of the Lord. It's from Mark chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. Connie, tell us a little bit more about this Bible study.
All right. Well, we are going to dive right into Mark's gospel, and we're going to find out that the beginning of Jesus' ministry actually had a precursor or a forerunner, and that person is going to be John the Baptist. But we're also going to find out that God had predicted John the Baptist's ministry centuries before he was ever born. And so we're going to see what God is doing and how important it is for someone to come and prepare the way of Jesus' coming. We're going to find out that really John the Baptist is the last of the Old Testament prophets. And I'm going to read our section of scripture first, and then we're going to go back through and talk about some different things. Also, as we go through, I'm going to point out, Mark seems to like certain words, and he repeats them often. And so, you know, the words that probably have more meaning because they're repeated, and so we'll take notice of that also. All right, so this is Mark chapter 1, verses 2 to 8. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan, in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts with wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And so we see that John's whole ministry is really to prepare for this coming one, this Messiah, this one who's much greater than John. And as we go back to the verse 2, it says, as was written in Isaiah the prophet. And so Isaiah had prophesied that John would be coming and he would be preparing the way for Jesus. And that preparation is going to be through repentance because the people needed to be turning back to God, be able to receive or understand who the Messiah was. And so I'm going to read just a portion of the scripture here from Isaiah 41 to 11. I'm going to start in verse 3. It says, "A voice cries, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And so what we're seeing is the Messiah is coming, and God's glory is going to be seen in human flesh. And for the people who have eyes to see and ears to hear, this is a glorious, glorious time. Next, we find out that John is talking about he's going to be proclaiming this baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And each one of those things is very important to concentrate on because they have specific meanings for the people of the first century, and they have specific meanings for Christians also. The first is baptism, and that comes from the Greek word baptizo, which really literally means to submerge or to be immersed in something. And what happened is that people would actually be dipped down all the way into the Jordan River and come back up again. And so many churches practice that form of baptism, and it's the same sort of idea. What happens with John's baptism is the people have come to repent, and what they understand, and God's people have always understood, they could never do anything to make them right with God. They were sinners. They would bring the sacrifices, they would pray, but always they were relying on God's grace to forgive them because they knew that the death of a lamb wasn't going to atone for the sin that they've committed. And so here, to prepare the people for the coming of Messiah, John is calling them to recognize their sins, to confess them, meaning to agree with God that it was sin, to admit their sin, and then that repentance actually means to turn completely from going in one direction and acting and thinking and speaking in one way, turn 180 degrees and go in the opposite direction. And so true repentance means a change in lifestyle, a change in behavior, a change in thought. And so that's what the people are doing. Those who had listened to John's call and they confessed their sins and realized that they were going the wrong way, they're turning back to God, and then they're going through this rite of baptism as a symbol or a visible witness that this is what had happened. They'd had a heart change and they were turning back to God and receiving God's forgiveness, which he promised to those who would seek him. So we've got both the baptism and the repentance, and then we've got this word sins. And the Greek word is hamartias, and it's a failure to hit the mark. And actually, Mark is right about using sins right away first in his gospel, because that is our biggest problem. None of us have measured up. We've all fallen short. None of us have been able to follow God's law or please God. So we've got this people turning to God. Interestingly enough, I'm just going to point out, when we were talking about that all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem are going out to him, that's a little bit of a hyperbole. It's for emphasis. It doesn't mean every single person in Jerusalem walked out to where John was, but it does speak to a great number of people were doing that. Next, in verse 6, we find that John was a typical prophet because he was clothed in camel's hair and he wore a leather belt bound around his waist and he ate locusts and wild honeys. Sounds like Elijah. And actually in the Gospels, Jesus does say that John is Elijah or Elijah come back, but it really means that he's a prophet in the same way that Elijah was. And then next in verse 7, we find that John preaches and says, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie." And so John so incredibly knew who he was as a man, as a prophet, but he also knew that Jesus coming after him was the Messiah, the Son of God, and so totally different than him. And so he's very humble, and he says that I'm not worthy to even stoop down and untie the sandals. And that stoop down part is a detail that's only in the Gospel of Mark. And so it speaks to someone having some, you know, either eyewitness view of it or someone who had, you know, well, actually probably was Peter, because this is really the kind of the recounting of Peter's thing, but or Peter's remembrances of Jesus. But again, just one of those details that shows that his gospel is authentic. The other aspect of it is I just want to point out that John the Baptist was humble. We have a couple other instances in the Gospels where we hear him talking about Jesus being greater than he. And then in John 3, verses 30 and 31, John the Baptist writes or says to his disciples after they'd had a squabble with Jesus' disciples and weren't talking about Jesus getting more famous, John says, "He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from above is above all." And then I just want to point out that also Jesus, when he talked about John the Baptist one time, he talked about him being a very mighty person. And so Jesus considered him as a wonderful, you know, as a person who was fully doing God's will, but also how much more important it was to actually be someone who was in the kingdom of God. And so this is from Matthew 11, verse 11. Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And so we're starting to see what Jesus thinks is important as far as human accomplishments or what people do or say. All right. And then finally, in this last section we're dealing with today, we have the words where John the Baptist in verse 8 says, "I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." And this is, again, a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, because God had foretold in Ezekiel and Joel and Isaiah, various prophets, that he was one day going to put his spirit in the hearts of his people. He was going to pour his spirit out on many people. And this was going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. And so with the advent of Jesus coming, and then with his atoning sacrifice and death and resurrection, then he was going to send the Holy Spirit to his followers and change everything about how people would live. And this is so much greater than what John the Baptist had ever done or could do, because he wasn't God. So I'm going to read to you Ezekiel 36, verses 26 to 27, which again talks about God foretelling that he was going to change people's hearts and give them his spirit. And so verse 26 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." And then we find out in Acts, first chapter, Acts 1:8, Acts 1:5, that John had baptized with water, but Jesus was going to baptize his followers with the Holy Spirit. And then they would have power to go out and be his witnesses. And if you think about it, it seems like the main reason that the Holy Spirit was sent was for people to be able to live for Jesus, live like Jesus, but mostly even more so perhaps to be his witnesses. So now we've seen how John the Baptist was really important as to be a forerunner of Jesus, but now someone greater is coming.
Connie, thank you so much. What a great study this has been. Connie, I'm so glad you're at the table with us. This title was Prepare the Way of the Lord. You can find the notes on our Bible Studies tab at naomistable.com. We're going to talk more about this when we come back.